I get to fill in some time while I'm up here, and one of the things that I want to mention to you this morning is that not everybody turns 89 today, but Bob Anderson does. And that's quite an achievement. So happy birthday, Bob. Welcome to all of you. Especially great to see and to greet some people that are not usually here with us, and so we're welcoming you today. We're glad that you're here. We are in week 13 of the Believe series, and if you've been keeping on board reading week to week the Believe book, you probably remember week 4 where we talked about God's Word and how it's useful for all kinds of things. And today, we're taking that conviction and we're going to build on that. Remember, we signed there and that big poster in the back. That's something we believe. So today we're going to build on that. After all, if we truly believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, for training in righteousness, if we truly think that, then we'll act on that belief. Amen? So let's add to it this morning the memory verse that goes with this week's chapter that we read for the Believe series. All right, we'll put it up here on the screen. Good, technology is my friend this hour. This is great. All right, so let's say it together. It's Hebrews 4:12. Let's quote this together. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You can spot the guy who's in love, can't you? You can spot the guy who's in love, especially if he is in the military and he is deployed. You can tell he's in love because of the stack of letters that his sweetheart is sending him while he's gone, or maybe it's his wife. And you can tell that he loves her because he reads and rereads those letters. He treats them like gold. There isn't a day that goes by that he wouldn't drag those out and look through them again. Now, why does he do that? He's in love. His text messages are piling up. His email is full. He doesn't care how many electronic trees have to die for him to get those. He's not erasing those because he's in love. You can tell that, can't you? Well, picture a man sitting, his Bible open, early in the morning. He loves the Word of God because he loves the God who wrote it. Picture a man like Don DeWelt, good old Don, who taught at Ozark Christian College for many years, and he loved God's Word so much, and he spent so much time in that Word that he memorized it. Yes, the whole thing. Don DeWelt. Pretty amazing accomplishment. Now, picture in your mind an inspired songwriter. He is sitting and reading an ancient scroll, one of the books of Moses from the old days. And after that reading time, he takes up his pen and with that Word of God open in front of him, and by inspiration of the same Holy Spirit who inspired that Word, he begins to write what will become the longest chapter of the Bible, the longest out of 1,189 chapters. Talking about Psalm 119. And that's what we're going to really be looking at today. 176 verses all about, guess what? The Word of God. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn them to Psalm 119. If you're using one of the Bibles that's in the pew there in front of you, you'll find it on page 425. I really like that we get to use the 119th Psalm today because just a few years ago, our young people during Vacation Bible School raised money that week to sponsor the translation of a chapter of the Bible into American Sign Language, video translation of the Bible for deaf people. And guess what chapter it was? Do you remember? It was Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the Bible. Our young people sponsored that so that people all across the United States in the deaf community would be able to have a closer connection with God's Word. Isn't that neat? That gives me chills when I talk about that still, that we were getting to be a part of that. Well, Psalm 119 is a big part of the chapter in the Believe book that we read for this week. So I want us to camp out there this morning. And I learned a story about this chapter that I had never encountered before. The name of the guy involved in it is George Wishart. He was Bishop of Edinburgh in the 1600s. He was condemned to die as a heretic. And he had appealed for a release of that condemnation. He wanted a pardon. It hadn't arrived yet. And it was a custom in those days for the person who was going to be executed to be given the request of allowing a psalm to be sung right before their execution. You may as well be nice to him right before you execute him. So here he is. He is at the gallows. He is allowed to request one of the psalms to be sung before his execution. Do you hear where this is going? So guess which psalm he picks? 119, all right? 176 verses. And that psalm, which, by the way, is on an average 22 times longer than all the other psalms, was about two-thirds of the way through and still going on being sung, and his pardon came. So Wishart has become, he was spared, Wishart has become one of my new favorite historical figures, the guy who requested the 119th psalm to be sung at his execution. If I could title, I thought that was a funny story. If I could title this ancient song, I would call it You, Your Word, and Me. Because for one chapter, that's the way it speaks of life. Life that is all centered around God's Word and what it means for me. Out of 176 verses, there are only about five verses in this whole psalm that don't mention God's Word in one way or another. 171 verses. All of them talking about God's Word. And without being disrespectful, I want you to try this morning to picture in your mind, not to overly mystify this writer. We don't know for sure who it is, possibly David, not for sure. But picture him for a moment as just a regular guy, if you could do that. And as you do, just listen to and soak in how much this guy loves God's Word. Will you listen to it? Look at it just for a moment with me. For instance, in verse 14, he says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Verse 24, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. There's several other verses that I'm having put up. We'll just kind of click through some of those. Go down to verse 97 where he says this, Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Go down to verse 127, Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. Get down near the end to verse 174 and he says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law gives me delight. Is that you? Can you picture you? When was the last time that you were talking to God and you told him you loved his word so much that it meant more to you than pure gold? That you loved it so much that you just think about it all the time. You meditate on it day and night. What is it with this guy? Why is he so lathered up about God's statutes, laws, decrees, ordinances, precepts, commandments, all words that he uses to refer to God's word? Why such passion? I'm glad you asked that. Here's what I think the answer to that is. He has learned the value of God's word. Against everything else, he's learned the value of it in life. He understands, verse 7, that it is righteous. He understands, verse 52, that it is ancient. Verse 138, that it's trustworthy. Verse 160, that it is eternal. Verse 96, that it is boundless. Verse 103, it is sweet. Verse 137, it is right. Verse 140, it is tested. Verse 160, it is true. He has come to learn that God's word is all of these things and more, and he loves it. And he knows that these things are true. He knows it not just because he has gotten it into his head, but because it has become a part of his living, and he has seen it proven true. I want you to take a look with me at just a few of the things that he sees that God's word does for us, and then I want to talk about how we can get that to be part of our lives as well. Here's the first thing that he says. Can we go there? It gives him wisdom and insight. It gives him wisdom and insight. Psalm 119, verse 98. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Look at verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Just for a moment, in your own mind, I'd like you to try something. Try to think of one word that characterizes the era we live in. A word that kind of characterizes people in this day in which we live. Just think of one word that would sum it all up. All right? I've got one. How about shallow? How about superficial? All right, that's two words. I'm getting carried away here. But people with insight in life, people who not only are able to gather knowledge and to repeat knowledge, but people who are able to take knowledge and apply that to life and have skill for living are the people who are going to stand out, aren't they? How do you get there? How do you become wise in this day? Here's one way. You make God's word your delight in life because it gives wisdom and insight. Do you believe it? This man knew it. He knew it because he had been living it. Let's go on from there. Here's something else he said. It helps him stand up under opposition. It will help you stand up under opposition. Look at verse 110. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Newsflash, you will have enemies. In fact, you do. And do you see what gives this writer reassurance? It's not the idea that everybody's going to like him in life. It's not the idea that there won't be enemies, but that he'll be able to stand because he relies on God's word. I can remember the stories of how God delivered his people from attacks over and over. I can dig into his word, learn those things, and it reassures me that I can stand up under opposition today. Do you believe it? All right, let's go on to another one. Number three, it keeps him from stumbling. It keeps him from stumbling. I know we live in a time where it seems impossible to keep from messing up. You could not pay me to be a teenager today. You could not pay me. You guys who are in your teens, kudos to you, all right? You ladies who are in your teens, kudos to you. It's hard. Can I get an amen from everybody else? It's a hard time, okay? And it's as if it were impossible to navigate life and not just really mess it up. But you know what? It isn't impossible. It's challenging. How can a young man, how can a young woman, how can an older person keep their life pure in a time like this? Here's an answer, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Do you hear what he is saying here? When you're searching God's word for the way that you're supposed to go, when you're hiding that deep in your heart, that word is able to keep you from messing up. How many people, young and old, would have made better choices if they had just heard the truth of God resounding in their heads, if they had just had it hidden inside of their hearts and had it being a part of their life when Satan showed up with his lies? God's word is able to keep you from stumbling, to give you skill for living, to help you stand up under opposition, to help you relate to God the way that you should. But hear this, but it won't until you make it a part of your lifestyle. Some years back, we were visiting a church building for a wedding. I don't even remember exactly where it was, but I remember that there, in the back, set off from things on a table, was one of those great big doorstop Bibles, you know, the 40-pound ones, sitting there on a table. Great big thing. Had its own zip code. And my son, who was young then, asks me, what is that? And I told him, that is a useless Bible. That's a useless Bible. It wasn't doing any good. Because, hear this, a Bible that's not being read isn't doing any good. I'm going to sound kind of hypocritical this morning because the Bible that I bring up here with me on Sunday mornings is black. But you know what? I think that every Bible ought to be read. All right. Is this thing on? All right. Listen, your Bible is useless if it's not being read. It is a useless Bible. By the way, having a Bible app on your smartphone that has 117 translations that you can pull up anywhere, that, by the way, is also useless if you're not using it. It's like that giant family Bible if it's not being read. My goal here this morning is to get some people who have useless Bibles into a lifestyle where you won't own a useless Bible anymore. Problem is, like so many other things that we know that would be good for us, somehow, sometimes, we get our priorities messed up, don't we? I hear it. And the urgent wins out over the important, and things like time in God's Word sometimes get pushed to the side, especially if you're reading through some of those chapters with all the begats in them. You know the ones? The genealogies. What can we do to make sure that doesn't happen? How can we make sure that God's Word is not only something we say is important, but that becomes an important part of our lifestyle? Well, I'm glad that you asked that. Let me suggest that every one of us here this morning, every one of us, needs to make a commitment if we really think that studying God's Word is essential. If we are going to truly be like that guy who is in love, we are going to want to constantly go through the love letters that have been sent to us. We need all to be committed to spending time in God's Word in a way that shows we think that it's worth the effort. 35 of the verses in Psalm 119 are words about committing time to being in God's Word. 35 of the verses, the psalmist is saying, I want to be there. I promise to be there. How do we keep that fresh and exciting? Let me suggest to you some practical steps, some things that we can do, the takeaways to take with you this week that you can begin today and this week to help this happen, all right? Here's number one. Read Psalm 119 out loud to God this week. Do it. Do it. Read this psalm out loud. Listen to the words that are flowing from your mouth as you read it and ask yourself, do I really believe those things as I say them to God? Do you really delight in His Word? Read it out loud and listen to what you're saying. All right? Everybody got that? All right, here's number two. Have a plan. Have a time. Have a place. Have some schedule. We do it for everything else that we think is important in life, don't we? I got a plan pretty much every morning to get up and to brush my teeth. I pretty much do that every morning. And you know why I get it done? Because I have a plan to do it every day. Pick out the time of the day that fits your life the best. Find that place that gives you the chance in life to read or to listen to the Bible, and then schedule it. And don't write out a goal that says, well, I'm going to read God's Word at 6 o'clock every morning. Have a goal that reads like this: I do read God's Word at 6 o'clock every morning. All right? Don't write it out as a good intention. Write it out as a part of your life. Use a schedule, a way that meaningfully takes you through God's Word. If you've got a plan to get you through God's Word, the chances are you'll do a better job at it. A lot of you are already doing that this year. Remember at the beginning of the year, a bunch of us made a commitment to do that. I'm in the midst of that. How many of you are doing that right now? Look around at the hands of the number of people who are still working through God's Word this year on a schedule. All right? The more likely that will happen if you have a schedule. Here's number three. Make it reachable. Parents, if you want your kids to learn to enjoy God's Word, it needs to be given to them in a way they can understand and remain excited about. Give them a translation they can understand. Give them God's Word in a way that they can reach it. Give that to yourself too. All right? Don't beat yourself up if you're reading a translation of the Scripture that is just hard for you to read. Get it in a translation that you can read, all right? And find a way to get God's Word within your heart because it's in your reach. We can do that for kids. We can do that for ourselves. Okay, here's number four, and this is kind of the catch-all, all right? And that is to use a variety of means, because there are dozens of ways for you to connect with God's Word, to make it a part of your life. A lot of those are opportunities right here at Central Christian Church. Bible studies, small groups, and those things kind of come and go, kind of take a break in the summertime. We'll pick back up more in the fall, but all year long, there's this thing that we have here all week called Sunday school. Or every Sunday called Sunday school. Parents, would you like to have your kids learn to love God's Word? Okay, both of you see me after services. We'll work on that. Well, I know that you would, but you're afraid if you say yes that the next thing that's coming is, well, here's how you can make that happen, right? Exactly. What better place to get an hour a week, student-oriented, sequential instruction through both the Old and New Testament, age-appropriate lessons, free instruction, by the way, which would total 260 hours just in the 5 years of elementary years of Sunday school here, that are taught by qualified teachers who care about children and who love them, about personal contact in small groups, scripture memorization, and here's a bonus, you'll never be late for second service. It would happen. The whole family could attend at the same time. It's an excellent example of parent to child. It is fun. It teaches children the value of Bible study in their life, and it makes it an important priority in their life very early on. Wouldn't that be great? And my thanks to Kay Bailey, who provided most of those words, because she is a person who believes in the value of Sunday school and the importance of our young people getting God's Word. God was speaking to Israel on the edge of entering the promised land. He knew they needed to be reminded. And so he gave them these words in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This thing that we're talking about here today is so much more than just Sunday school once a Sunday. more than just Sunday morning services. What we are really talking about here is making God's Word a part of your life, a part of your lifestyle. It is a response to what Jesus said when he said that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The goal is for having a life that has an ever-growing love for Jesus. And that comes partly from spending time in his Word. Picture in your mind this morning a little boy. From his very earliest years, his mother taught him the stories of the Bible as soon as he could understand and appreciate them. And they weren't just something to pass the time or read before bed. They were the life lessons that would shape how he would think and how he would grow up. And later in life, he wouldn't just know the name of the man that Jesus raised from the dead or the city where Jesus turned water into wine, but he would know Jesus. And he would want to live to please him. Picture in your mind a couple of guys who both have been in the ministry preaching for over 30 years, both of them. And they have made studying God's Word a very big and important part of their lives. They are brothers-in-law, and their great-nephew, a 2.5-year-old boy, has tragically drowned. And so the mother of this little boy who died asks his oldest and youngest uncle to share some words of comfort and encouragement at his memorial service. And they each get up to speak. One of them, when he gets up to speak, is clearly flustered, and he just flat out tells everybody as he begins, "I don't want to even be here today." He says, "I would rather be anywhere else than here right now." What could they say that would possibly help? They pointed to Scripture. And they reminded us of people of faith, people we read about in God's Word who struggled through hard times, who struggled in the past. They read to us the verses that tell us how God is near to the brokenhearted. In an auditorium full of people needed for somebody who had looked at God's Word to get up and to share it. Picture in your mind an older guy. He's grown up to love God's Word, and he gets along in years, and he finds the time that he spends in the Bible has never gotten boring. It's only become more and more dear to him. And he finds in his older years that he is actually reading it more and more. After all, he's cramming for finals now. His name is George King. Late at night, unable to sleep because of the pain of arthritis, he would often get up and go sit in his easy chair and turn on the lamp, open up his Bible, put it in his lap, and read God's Word. And then one night, like he has done so many times before, he gets up in the early morning hours, he sits down in his easy chair, and he reads. His wife, Tassie, wakes up and notices that George is gone, and so she gets up to check on him. And there he sits in his easy chair, his Bible open in his lap. Only this time, George has gone home. Rather than call the funeral home to come and take George's body, she calls all her kids. And the family comes and gathers in the room. There sits George with his Bible in his lap. And they talk about the faith of this man who loved God's Word. The night before September 11th, 2001, while terrorists were preparing to take the lives of thousands of people in New York and other places, Brother George was taking his delight in his life with Jesus. What a great thing to die and to be found spending time alone with Jesus in His Word. Where will you be found? What place will God's Word hold in your life? The other question is, what place does His Son hold in your life? Because those two things go together. The goal here this morning is not just to get you to fall in love with the Bible, but rather to fall in love with the one who gave it to us. To fall in love with the Savior it tells us about. The kind of love that leads you back to His Word so you can know Him better and better. Every one of us here this morning can take a really serious look at our attitude towards God's Word and the place that we give it in our lives. I'll bet there's room for improvement. Some of you here this morning need to go a step beyond that and not just consider what you think of God's Word, but what are you doing with what it says? What are you doing with the relationship that you have with God? Because you need to make a step that says, I'm going to follow Jesus. You haven't done it yet. We want to give you an opportunity today, a challenge, to make that kind of a commitment. If you believe that Jesus is who He truly said He is, then He's got an invitation for you to become His follower. And we hope this morning that's a choice you'll make. I want to ask you to stand up, please. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to sing a song together. And this morning, during that song, would be a really great time for somebody to come forward and say, I'm ready to become a follower of Jesus Christ. What do I need to do? The Scriptures answer that very question. The very first time it was asked on the day the church started, the answer to the question was, repent, that is, turn around, change the life that you're living, repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. That's you and me. It's a great promise this morning. It's a great invitation. And it's an easy way to explain what it means to start your relationship with Jesus. This is the time during our worship time here together that we're asking you to consider doing that. I'll be down here at the front. As we're finishing up here today, I'll still be down here at the front. Because if you're one of those people who's just scared to death about coming up in front of people, wait till they're kind of going the other way, all right? I'll still be here. And we want to talk to you. We want to look at God's Word together with you and say, here's what it means to follow Jesus. Would you make that choice today? If you're already a follower of Christ and you recognize that that's where you want to be and continue to be, of course, but you also recognize, hey, God's Word needs to have a bigger place in my life. Now's a good time to make some commitments to that, all right? Maybe you need prayer this morning, encouragement. If that's the case, we encourage you to come up here. We want to pray with you. We want to share with the church family if there are needs in your life that we can. And I'll be here. Let's pray, all right? Father, right now, we want to thank You that You give us a Word that is unchanging and true, a Word that has stood the test of time, a Word that deserves our respect and our attention. We believe what it says about itself, and we believe that the external evidence confirms it. God, You have given us a perfect and useful Word. Help us to make that not just something that we've learned, something that's stuck up inside of our heads, but something that is a part of how we live. And I pray today that the truths that we have looked at will find their mark, that it will do the purpose for which You have sent it. Change our lives, God. Draw us close to You from the things that we have heard in Your Word today is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.